closer.
You are listening to Two Magicians, One Mic.
Why would you wait that long, you psychopath?
I didn't wait that long at all on my end.
You're supposed to go, what? Whatever rhythm you give in the count is when...
That's not what I did. There's a delay on your end.
No, here's what it happened. Here's what it looked like on my end. One, two, three.
It's not my fault. It's the time gravity continuum on your end because you're on the West Coast and I'm on the East Coast right now.
It's true.
But, yep. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Two Magicians.
One magician.
I haven't even had a drink today and I can't get the word out.
When is there going to be a video podcast of this so that people get to see One Magician, Two Mics, where it's just you and you have two microphones on you?
There's literally that if you watch, I put the Teller interview up on the YouTubes.
That's
and it's
right.
Me with two microphones. But the funny part is nobody's commented on it. We have a lot of views. That's like the most views we've ever gotten for anything. And nobody's commented that I have two microphones pointed to me. And it's just because I was so nervous about that interview. I was recording into GarageBand, and then also I was recording separately into a digital recorder and having Teller's audio going into that recorder too. Because I was like, we're not getting this. This is too important. Excuse me, Mr. Teller. I know we talk for 2 hours, but could you come back next Thursday? I didn't hit record.
Thank you.
That was my
If that would have happened, I feel like it would have been just Simon's audio and Teller's audio. Then it would have been you going back trying to dub yourself.
All right, what did I say? What did I say at this point?
What question would make sense to that answer?
When you were inventing the silhouette rose trick, how old were you? In your teens? Yes.
Probably.
One of my classes, I have to bring in something that represents some sort of like mental illness or depression or anxiety or something, and they want something from like music or poetry, and I immediately thought of Taylor's silhouette. I'm like, I got it. I'm done. Nobody else is bringing in a magic trick for psychology class, abnormal psych class. So I'm either going to really impress my instructor or they're going to be like, okay, that's really sad. So I'll let you know how that goes.
They'll be like, oh, thank you. It's going to be like Christmas Story where he brings the basket of fruit for her.
Thank you very much, Ralph.
Thank you, Nick, for your contribution. You started classes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I start officially in Tuesday, but I've gotten all the work done now. Well, most of the work done. It's most
okay,
of the classes doing
I
the work.
I don't understand this.
What's the crazy?
How does this work?
It's the crazy online world where, like, most of the work, from what I'll find out next week, but from what I can gather, all the work is online. The reading, the video lectures, the answering questions, submitting papers, and then the Zoom sessions where we meet for 2 hours a week per class. I think it's just them basically saying, so what do you think of this? What are your thoughts on this? Which to me, it's like, all right, hopefully I'm wrong. There's additional information. I would assume there is, but I feel like it's just going to be a lot of, because 15% of the grade is discussion and interaction in Zoom. So I can't just play a video of me sitting there nodding my head. That was my legit idea. If I ever booked like something out of town, I'll just have Kristen hit play, log in for me, hit play, and I'm just sitting there nodding. So Nick, what'd you think of this? Oh, he froze again.
That's all you would have to do.
Yeah. They did that in the South Park special that came
out
in, I think, September. It was just like, oh, Eric's freezing again. It's just him holding up a picture of himself, and then he goes and plays video games. And you're like, how many kids are doing that right now? So
South
many
Park
children.
Did it first, always.
Yeah. We talked about Oculus last week, and we're not going to talk too much about tech this week because that's all we talked about last week. But have you experienced the Oculus yet?
No, I've been so tired that I have not.
That's the fucking problem with the Oculus is it's exhausting. Like, I did a workout. I used a new app today. I'm forgetting the name. It's called Supernatural. It's basically Peloton for Oculus. And it's a monthly subscription. And as far as I can tell, it's basically just Beat Saber, but with, lunges and some ab work.
Gotcha.
But you have instructors. And I did like a 15-minute workout and I was exhausted. I run 3 miles every other day, and I was more exhausted by doing that. So,
oh, that's a good.
Yeah, it works. You feel silly, but it works. So, that's if you're looking
yeah,
for,
yeah, if no one watched you, like you should roll. Oh my god, what if you rolled up into a gym with your travel, with like the Oculus travel bag, and then you just set up in front of the mirror with your headphones?
Yeah, but like you put out a whole bunch of like medicine balls around you or a bunch of weights. This is my area. This is
nobody come in my space.
This I am working out right now. You know what I discovered is how you get out of a gym membership is a global pandemic.
It's because true.
Planet Fitness has not charged me since March. And I'm like, they could have just kept charging me. Like I don't think absolutely. I would have been too much. It's $10 a month.
Is it the same for Planet Fitness? So I had a LA Fitness membership, and the only way to get out of it is you have to fill out the application in person on a paper and then mail it to the corporation.
I think you couldn't do it online because in order to sign up, you had to give them your bank account. Like you couldn't just give them a credit card because anybody can cancel a credit card, but it's harder to cancel your checking account.
That's
turns
very
out,
true.
Which is so, genius.
Yeah. LA Fitness was fine, but I had, cause you have to you have to email them to ask for the cancellation. It's so weird. It's like so much work. So like I emailed LA Fitness and I was like, can I have a file so I can leave, please? And they didn't respond. And so then I sent them an email like a week later and I was like, I emailed you and I didn't get it. I just want to leave, please. It was like it's like when you're stuck in a relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then they responded to me and they were like, we're so sorry. We're just going to cancel it through this email. And I was like, thank you.
Wow, that's really
so
lucky.
Just complain. Yeah, if you just complain, you'll be fine.
Because there's a whole Friends episode about they all signed up for a gym and then couldn't get out. And it's like years later, I think.
Yes. So a pandemic helps and emailing their customer info, which is probably overwhelmed.
That's good. I'm glad gyms are open. Like, if you want to go work out, great. But to me, I'm still not in a place. Like, I've been on airplanes, and I'm okay with airplanes, but I'm not okay with going to the gym.
Yeah.
I think it's, like, everybody's different level of personal comfort.
Oh, yeah. At Best Buy, I avoid people in aisles. So, like, I have the whole, place mapped out pretty well. So, if I need to get somewhere, I'll be like, oh, I'll cut through this aisle. And the second someone's standing there, I'm like, no, I'm just going to go all the way around them.
That happened at Target yesterday. And what was hilarious is it was my wife's old neighbor from the house she grew up in. But the lady was looking at her phone the whole time. It was just, like, the perfect example of how people are completely disconnected in the real world. Like, looking at her phone, yelling at her kid to get out of the way, but standing in the aisle, blocking us. And Kristen noticed her earlier. And then, it's too much of a conversation. I'm not doing it. It's like, it's more work to go, hey, how's it going?
Correct.
Good to see you. So we just went all the way around the aisle to get the hell out of the way. And that's called being introverted.
Yeah, it's a nice way of doing it. I just don't want people to ask me questions of things that I don't know, and I don't want to disappoint them. Because you'd be surprised how disappointing it is if I went, excuse me, do you work here? Nick, do you work here?
At my house? Yes, I
do. Okay, great. And you have a shirt that says literally the company logo on your chest. Do you work here? Do you work here? Are you working? Do you work here? Okay, I have a question. And I'm like, okay, I'll try my best. And then they walk me all the way to their department, whatever. And I'm just like, I was doing something back there.
Yeah.
And they're like, this TV, is this display this one, that price?
You mean and the all sticker I do is, for that TV?
Correct. And all I do is I look at the thing and I go, yes. That is the 43-inch
they
TLC.
Walked across the store to ask you
correct.
If the sticker was right.
And then they say, can I get this? And I go, yeah. And they go, okay, do you have them? And I went, well, let me call someone to get them for you. Mm-hmm. And then they have to wait another 20 minutes.
If you would have went to just this guy that's correct. Literally standing right here, because he's in the TV. He's the TV man.
Correct.
I'm not the TV man. I'm correct. The box man.
I've only gotten one rude guy, which is they said to me, oh, you're just doing warehouse stuff. And then they walked away from me.
Gotcha.
It made me feel like less of a person.
Uh-huh.
Because it made me feel like I didn't know any products. It made me feel like I didn't work there.
Yeah.
Because like, oh, awful. You just do warehouse stuff. And then they went to ask somebody else. And I want to be like, ow.
Oh,
hurt
that's
my
awful.
Feelings.
I'm sorry. Somebody decided to start vacuuming right now. This is called.
Quickly vacuum, Gwen, quickly.
Start vacuuming. Quickly.
We need as much noise as possible in the background.
Oh my goodness.
Someone's vacuuming right now.
Yeah, I don't want to stop it. I think it's great.
No, it's great. It's because, you know what? This is the real world. We're not creating some...
This is not some fake. This is the real... Like, we're working from home, guys.
This is... Nick, I think we'd have been working... I think we'd have been recording this from home either way.
Yeah. What's funny is, like, working from home has been such an adjustment for so many people. What is Gwen doing? Is she mopping?
She's putting the tree away, but she has to, like, push it into the box. And so it was just like... You probably can't hear it.
Oh, I can hear that. Oh. I don't know if your good mic's picking up, but your crappy mic from your headphones is picking it up, which is hilarious.
Oh, no, that makes me think that I'm not recording in... Okay, no, I am.
No, it's scared me. It's fine. That's really funny. What's great is we're going to, you know, we've been hiding in Michigan for the past month. When LA shut down, we're like, okay, we're getting the hell out of here. Yeah, for the millionth time. And then we've just been staying with in-laws in Michigan. And we don't know when we're coming back. Hopefully soon. But
now,
all of our Christmas...
Wait. Are you staying with in-laws or is she staying with in-laws? Because you both can't be staying. I mean, I guess you could be.
I said we.
You did say we're staying with in-laws. And I was like, what does that mean?
We're staying with friends' in-laws. So it's like a friend of a friend. They don't know us. We've been hiding out in the basement. Okay. That's why I didn't say anything when they were vacuuming. Because I didn't want... oh, God, they're going to find us out.
My New Year's resolution is to put more content out. With the new social media reboot. So I've been writing down ideas, different funny videos, magic videos, music-related things. And I want to do, like I said last time, a compilation of things I've heard at Best Buy or, like, the how-tos of Best Buy. And the
like
one thing
magic,
I did...
A magic trick?
No. Just like...
Oh, gotcha.
Just like, just here's you. The how-to. Here's if your name starts with Q, if your last name starts with Q, we can find your product very fast. Like that. Like, that's honest. So here's something. I was pushing my little cart with my products going through, and I passed a man, and this is all I heard him say to his friends, which was, I mean, it didn't cost that much to make Auschwitz.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And I just kept walking. I just thought,
it's so terrible.
What is that context?
Yeah. I mean, he's technically probably not wrong because the Nazis were very rich, but what the hell? Where would that come
what
from?
What were they talking about in a Best Buy?
So important to keep a notebook of overheard things you hear from.
Well, that your thing strangers. Inspired me. Your journaling of your gig made me think, like, I got to start, like, paying attention. It's like, it's the second I get an idea, I need to write it down because I'm going to forget it or I'm going to, like, misremember something.
I remember Penn talking about that. He used to think, you know, that... what's his name? He talks like this, singer.
Bob Dylan.
Thank you. I can You're do welcome. An on-command Bob Dylan impression. Can never remember his freaking
Is it name. A Bob Dylan impression, or is it an impression of Adam Sandler doing an impression of Bob Dylan? You know, oh, I'm sorry, Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon doing Bob
You know
Dylan.
What? I typically do that. I will always do Will Ferrell's impressions, and I had a Second City teacher call me out on it, which was great. But Bob Dylan and Jimmy Stewart are two names, two impressions that I can just... do for some
okay,
stupid
good.
Reason. I'm probably doing subconsciously a version of another version. Anyway, that's this one on. I don't know why I brought that up. The reason I brought that up is because Penn is a massive Bob Dylan fan, and he said he used to think he was just a musical genius, and then he learned later on that he's just taking notes. When he has an idea, he writes it down.
That makes sense.
And I think a lot of people, you kind of have to do that. Otherwise, if you're trying to... come up with something in the moment, it's not I'm not somebody that can do that. You're no. Maybe somebody that can do that, but I
will have a good idea and 20 seconds later I will not remember what I just thought of.
Yeah,
it happens when I'm recording, when I'm writing raps, which is really weird, is I'll have like this great line that'll line up right, that has like the right syllables and it just flows right, and I'm like, great, and then I don't write it down, and then I'm thinking of like the next line, and when I try to go back to the original line, I cannot remember what I just said.
Wow.
And I'm just like, no, because I'll not get that right again.
So my first lecture on critical thinking was the teacher going, you know, critical thinking is important, but memory, you know, it's just something that kind of comes and goes. We don't remember as much as we think we do. For example, I bet you can't remember, you know, if you took an exam And then 2 weeks later, if you took it, you probably wouldn't do as well on that exam. I'll take it even a step further. I bet you can't even remember some of the names of your classes from college. And I'm just sitting there going, so why do I have to watch this lecture if I'm just going to forget all of it?
She should tell me that all how to remember what she said.
Yeah, you started all of this by saying it's completely pointless. You're not going to remember it.
I feel like that's a great. I love interesting magic themes or like close up shows that have or not close up shows. Any magic show that has like a nice little like bow on it. And so like my first close up show was about. Like, how does the trick work? So there's sleight of hand. It could be luck. It could be technology. And I feel like that's a very funny concept to do a little 20-minute show about, which is starting saying, you won't remember any of this.
Yeah.
Because your memory's bad. And then doing tricks about either not theming them like, this is now a memory trick or whatever, but like really piecing together tricks that where like you won't remember what happened. It's like me. It's like doing a blank deck routine. But starting it with a normal deck and then doing the whole show at the end going, do you remember what cards were there? And everyone being like, well, there were no cards there. You just don't remember.
Yeah. I think that's a great... I've thought about that concept for a while. And I like the idea of just reminding the audience that you can tell the audience that your memory is going to fail you. You're going to think I shuffled the cards when in reality I didn't. You're going to think this and that. And there, you know, there's so much science to back that up, but I think that's just a great concept for a show. I think that'd be fun to explore.
Yeah, and it's like you want to do little pieces. It's like you don't want to do like a trick just solely on that principle. It's like you want to like sprinkle it in throughout. Mm-hmm. Like you want to do a trick where there's like one little thing about your shuffling that you're like, whoa. A bird just flew into screen.
Oh man, if this wasn't an audio podcast, that would have been like the best magic trick I've ever seen.
My brain just exploded.
Robert's back, he has a divider behind him blocking out the light, and then the left and right side of him are super exposed, so it's just white. It looks like he's in heaven, but his bird just appeared to his right shoulder. It was a beautiful trick.
And it's still, like, I don't understand how the bird is completely seen. In the bright light. It is so bright and like overexposed.
And now he vanished. He's gone. You just found your first content for your first, you know, your reel or your TikTok or whatever the heck you want to do.
It is the bird appearing in the blinding light?
I've seen people like, you know, hit. I saw a guy put out a video of his kids hitting him with paper tubes, and that was his content. So I think an appearing bird is, you know, light years ahead of that.
Do you remember Bat Dad?
No, I'm thinking of Chewbacca Mom, but not Bat Dad. What was Bat Dad?
Bat Dad was a vine where he was a guy that just had a Batman mask, but just like a cheap plastic one that just covered like the top half of his face. And he would just yell at his wife, I think. He would just say things.
Oh, yeah. He would do the Christian Bale.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. But it would be like, where's my coffee? Where's my coffee? And she would like occasionally be in the background to be like, what are you doing? Like that look of like, you're so embarrassing. You just do it all the time. I like those ones.
Pete Holmes did a great series of short.
So good. His Batman ones are so good.
Like he's the doors closing. He's in the Batmobile. The top closes, says something. Then he has to reopen it because the guy didn't understand him. And then he just keeps opening.
The other one where Patton Oswalt is the Penguin.
Yeah.
And he's just being the straight man in that entire scene.
I just love that we accepted Christian Bale doing that voice for three movies. And we're like, yeah, okay.
But it also got worse as the movies went on. It's like he, you know what it's like? It's like he did the first movie and he was like, I got this voice. It's the memory thing. He did this voice. Yeah. And then they went to film the second movie. And he was like, it was something low and gravelly.
It was probably like this.
I'm not wearing hockey pants. I'm not wearing hockey pants. That's it.
And then they went to the third movie. He's like, I remember it was low and gravelly because I did it the other two times, but it was probably like,
And then they come up to me, I think you're a little bit off. He's like, are you kidding me? That guy has a mask over his face. You can't understand what he's saying, and you're mad at me?
How dare you? I've done this for two movies straight.
You're a disgrace. And he apologized. You know what? Oh, your bird's dancing. We got called out. I love it. You know, if you have comments or questions, fan mail or hate mail, twomagicians1mike@gmail.com. Or
I love how you tell them. Oh, I guess that is the only way. I mean, they could comment on like the Instagram, but emailing you directly is the funniest. Is the best because they means fans. You guys are like putting the time in to send an email.
Oh yeah. Oh, you know what? I'm gonna go one step further. I'm gonna give. We're gonna do a voicemail. So if you have something, leave us a voicemail. The number is. It's not my personal number, so I'm not gonna pick up. But we'll listen to the voicemail. It's 818-927-1843. I could regret putting this out into the world because this is a work number. But 818-927-1843. Leave us a voicemail. And we got our first voicemail, not from that, but just from a friend of ours, friend of the show. And he made a great comment of how we both, well, it was more so me, but we did a humble brag.
That's
so right. Let's listen to that right here.
Hey, buddy, I'm just out walking. Happy New Year. You don't have to call me back unless you want to. I hate when people say that. They say, you don't have to call me back unless you want to, which then makes you feel like you have to call back. I really mean it. Don't call me. Anyway, I was calling because I'm listening to the podcast, and you had the perfect low-key name drop, the best low-key name drop I've ever heard. In case you forget, this is what you said. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I got roped into doing tech for this guy. He's really nice. David Blaine. But you just said it so massively and moved on. Like, that wasn't the story. The story is you did the thing for David Blaine. That was amazing. All right, buddy. I love you, man. You're having the best year you've ever had since the last one. Bye.
Oh, Taylor Hughes. I look forward to
it. I love Taylor.
Chats.
Need to get Taylor. We need to get Taylor on this.
Yeah, he just redid his podcast. Now it's called, I mean, if you're already subscribed, you'll just be continued to be subscribed. But he changed the name to Chasing Wonder, and it's all kind of, I think it's going to be more like short stories and This American Lifestyle, but it's great. And he's just, it's good to have nice people in your life.
It's true. I also love, so there's many things about that voicemail I love. There's three main things. One, I just love Taylor's laugh.
Yeah.
Two, I love that he... does. Yeah, and I love that he is willing to throw you under the bus by calling you out. And
totally.
Three, I love that he started the voicemail with a type five.
There's always a, you know, we're always thinking in terms of like, all right, this, we're going to be in Carson one day, so we got to, it's going to be a type five. Type
it's
four.
So good.
I think it's type more four. Of a type four these days.
Yeah. It's just great. He's constantly, his like comedian brain was working because the second he said, call me back if you like, you could tell that he just was like,
yeah. Yeah.
You know what? And here's proof. You can remind him of that when he's trying to put together a type five because he won't remember that joke.
True. Very true. That's why you got to write stuff down. That's what else. Yeah. I won't delete that voicemail.
I'm just going to send you voicemails when I have ideas.
Yeah. The only people that leave voicemails are Taylor Hughes and my dad. So. Hey, Nick, I haven't talked to you in a while, or you can call me back if you want. And it's like, it's never any important information. It's like, I saw the missed call. I'm going to call you back. I guess it's nice to have those recordings.
Oh, yeah. It's very nice. Here's what you can do. You know what you can also do for me? Because this is a video series I want to do. It's not magic. You know what I love about today's episode? Not a lot of magic.
This whole podcast is not. We would have more listeners if they knew it wasn't about magic. That's my theory.
Okay, I have a series that I want to start, which is songs that you... I don't know how to phrase it yet, but it's like when you listen to a song and it sounds like a different song that your brain automatically goes into. Like, have you ever started singing like lyrics and then you start lyrics to a different song by accident and you're like, oh, I didn't even realize that,
I don't
like,
think that's necessarily your fault because a lot of songs are just using the same four notes. So your brain is recognizing the song that they based it on and then making you feel stupid when Justin Bieber starts singing. So
it's true. The only I have, the one I have is, it's in Hamilton. It's right where Burr, Mulligan and Jefferson are exposing Hamilton that they know he's been putting money aside for something. And so the goal is to record all of it in costume or like crappy costume. So it's right when they're about to tell him, you know, they know everything. And then Hamilton says, I have this letter. So he brings out the letter to show them. So I would do literally, and I would record everything on my piano. So it'd be like me doing a live track for it. So it would be like, I can't even think of how it starts, but like right before he gives him the letter. And so he's about to read the letter. And when he starts to read the letter, it just goes into Stan by Eminem. When Eminem is writing to Stan. So it's like, "Dear sir, I hope this letter reaches you in time before you hurt yourself. I think you'll be doing just fine if you relax a little." Instead of reading the letter from James Reynolds.
The window. You got to have Dido actually do it, though.
Oh, yeah. I'll email Dido.
She's not busy.
She's not busy. She's not doing anything.
Yeah. I heard a new Eminem track recently. He's still got it.
He's still so good. The last album, whatever this last album is, I can't think of what it's called. Wait, now I'm going to look it up because it's recently played on my phone.
Don't play it or else we'll have to pay for it.
Ugh, I'm not going to. Music to be murdered by.
You know, family stuff.
Family stuff is very good. That first track is very, very good.
Yeah. That's a great idea. I think that's fun. I think it's, and like, I put out your Aces front this week, and thank you for that. Even though I didn't ask for permission, I just did it anyway. because it's, I wrote this down about like last week. I was really just overwhelmed by going back to school, and then like, okay, work's slowing down because it's January. And you're like, oh, what am I going to do? And like, the simplest cure for it was just working on something. So I just worked on your Aces front for a few hours, and then it took me another hour to do a billion takes to put it up because I'm terrible.
That's the way I don't want to do just magic videos, because they take so long.
They take so long, and I mean, I think if it comes out great, wonderful, but it's funny, like I've always had like a judgment of Instagram magicians, but I think it kind of depends on what's happening. If it's like a one and done quick thing where you could quickly retake that, but if it's a whole bunch of stuff that you're trying to compress into a minute that, you know, doesn't have any cuts and has to be done in real time, it's difficult. It's a tough thing.
I think the Instagram guys have figured it out because they're doing a lot of dime store magic. They're doing a lot of stuff that you can buy and it just looks good on camera. And I think the guys who are doing real routines for Instagram, yeah, they're probably not getting as much appreciation on the platform, but I think their material is so much better because it seems like a new platform they're performing on rather than just showing tricks. Like it feels like there's creativity behind it and they're really doing stuff. So like I think that's the easy way out if you want to follow the algorithm to being famous on Instagram or TikTok is just kind of doing, I can just buy this and it just already looks good.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, too, is, like, the whole point I worked on that is, like, oh, I can now put that in the show. I spent hours on that, and now I have the muscle memory I can do it. As opposed to, like, here's me doing a camera trick, and that's it. It's a one-and-done thing. I think, I don't know, I just, like, that's just how my brain operates. I think it's important to, if you're going to spend all this time in something, at least it should be applicable to another medium other than just, like, here's something someone likes and then never sees again. You know?
Oh, yeah. When I was doing the stuff from books, that first series before, I was starting to do some of those things for virtual shows because I had worked on it for so long. It took me an hour to do, 30 takes. And by that 30th take, I was like, I got this down. Yeah. I can just do it now.
Yeah, your setup for Aces Front is simple, but still is confusing at first just for me to remember the setup. Okay, especially like it's not hard to reset in any way, but when I'm doing take after take after take, you know, it's like, okay.
So yes, you start.
And there was a couple times where I would get to the end and I'm like, yeah. And I was on the wrong side. Oh, and I was like, I'll send you the clip. It's like, did it. Fuck.
Yeah. It's so annoying. I mean, Gwen is probably sat through watching me. I'm trying to think of what it was. I had a trick that Derek Dingle put out, that Doug Henning did, which was, four card torn cards and like a matrix with four torn cards, and every time you cover it, pick it up, that piece jumps to the other side, but also restores piece by piece. And it would be so easy to do in a close-up show. It'd be so easy to do live, but recording is so hard because it's like it's got its advantages and disadvantages. The advantage is you have the perfect angle because it's never going to move, so you can get away with stuff because of certain angles they can't see. The disadvantage is they can always see one side, so if you accidentally expose something in that one little space that gets exposed, you have to restart it. And that I did that. I think that one took me the longest. That probably took me 2 hours because every time I would do it, something would get stuck or you could see a slight movement in my hand that you
want it to be perfect.
Correct.
Like I said yes to a pre-record, like a 15-minute pre-record instead of doing a virtual show a couple months ago. And it took me forever to get it done because I would finish or like I'd go through a routine and you're not interacting with anybody. So you're reworking stuff to make it look like you're interacting. And then I would be like, oh, I messed that up. And you just, I don't know. All of this virtual stuff has taught me a lot about being on camera. You know, I did four years of theater school, but no, other than like a sketch show I was on in college. Like that was my only on-camera training before going into the real world. Yeah. And I wish it was the opposite. You know, I think it's important to know your body and to know how you act and present yourself on stage. But, you know, in a camera situation, it's a very different scenario. And especially with magic.
It's completely different. What is nice, though, and I think it's, I'm learning it, and you've probably learned it from doing Aces for Front now, is like the best way to practice those tricks is to do 30 takes in an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're like, as frustrating as it is that you can't get that one take, you're actually practicing it. You like don't realize it. It's almost like the reverse. It doesn't feel like, oh, I'm practicing it to film it. It's like, I can't get it right. And what you're actually doing is practicing it by not getting it right.
Yeah. And then the muscle memory's there. It's like, I haven't done my multiplying bottles in since our show in September. But I know if I pick it up, it'll take me like an hour, maybe half hour. But I'll pick it right back up because I've done it so many times. And that's just simply the muscle memory. It's not going to be as smooth, but I just like the idea of not having to think on stage. If I can, the most stuff I can do without thinking but is still impressive is certainly the goal.
I think multiplying bottles too is pretty confusing to remember stuff sometimes if you haven't done it in a while because of the method. You can't see your setup because you literally have tubes covering what is underneath them. So when Nathan Fan and I would do our two-man show in the Peller, we did multiplying bottles. That was mean of us because we would try to add subtleties in order to fool magicians who knew how multiplying bottles worked by removing stuff from the thing in a way that you couldn't. It's hard to explain without exposing it.
Yeah.
But it was perfect. I mean, it would be stuff that Steve Dick, who is a apparatus builder, came up to us after the show and he went, "You can't do what you just did." And I was like, "What?" Because the art multiplying bottles is like the second trick in a 45-minute show. So I don't know. Like, it was so funny that that was the thing he remembered. He just went, "You can't do what you did." And I went, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You took a bottle and then you put the container over it." Oh, that's what it was. You would understand this. So we took a bottle from the top, but then we put the canister over it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was like, "You can't do that." And I was like, "I know." And he went, "I was completely fooled because I couldn't follow along anymore." The problem with that is we filmed it. We have like a video of us performing it, but we don't have a video of how we're doing it. So every time we did the show, which was, I think, 6 or 7 times, we'd have to go back and watch this video and go, "What did we do?"
Yeah.
"I don't know, because we've made it to fool ourselves." And it would just take us so long. It took us hours to go, "Oh, then this must be here. Okay, that must be it."
Well, did we talk about that when we did our one live show this year back in September in Colorado? Like, it was, 3 minutes before your show started. You couldn't remember your newspaper tear. I've seen you do that trick more than any other trick. And I was trying to help you, and then I was coming up with a different method, and you're literally FaceTiming with Nathan Fan going, "What do we do?"
And I still had to do your version because Nathan couldn't help me either.
Wow.
And you had the best version of it that you were like, "Just do it like this." And I was like, "All right." I still can't remember. And I don't know where the video is on my hard drive of the DVD. So I'll never do it again.
That's kind of it's definitely pure laziness, but that's also my thought process too, of like, if the setup and the learning is too complicated, you're gonna forget it.
Yeah. Unless you're doing it all the time.
Yeah. It goes back to the memory thing too, of just like, you know, that's in and out unless you're actively doing it. Even I think muscle memory to a point, if something is that complicated, like your bottles are like, I think I was when trying you're to creating, think... that's something to keep in mind.
Yeah. When I was doing, I was thinking about this because I was going to do it for a show. And then I was like, no, because I don't remember how to do it. It was this jelly bean prediction thing where you had like, you have to like set double right, kind of, but not really. And the setup, and in my head, I was trying to remember what the setup was. And then I was just thought like, oh, I'd have to work through that. Like, I'd have to go through it multiple times. And it's already a huge setup. And I was like, nah, that's not worth it. I may not do that trick ever again. Here's my question to you. Does Chris didn't know how to set up a lot of your stuff?
She does. I back in Macau, because I would do bottles like 3 to 8 times a day. So it was a different version than I'm currently doing. But the setup for that was actually more complicated because it was only 2 tubes instead of 3 tubes. But there was a point where she tried helping me a couple times with that one. And I just was like, no, I'll do this. It's more so like she would get it. But an OCD. Even when I was on tour with Justin, you know, if you're playing Two Magicians Bingo, fill in that card because I bring it up every episode. But, you know, I would set up a good portion of the show, but he still would go through and check everything in the same way I would, too, for my show. It's like, it's not that I don't trust you. It's just I want to make sure it's set up the way it's correct for me, you know, and I get that. That's something I understand.
Gwen, did you ever mess up something? I don't remember. I don't think you've... Oh, she's shaking her head. Absolutely not. She would set up, my parlor show, she could set up without me if need be. And then my show in Pittsburgh, which she only saw, how many times did you see that? I don't know. She saw a handful of times, but she probably could reset that show after 3 shows. Like we ended one show and she was already like trying to reset for me. And I was like, how do you know all of that? And she went, well, it's easy.
Kristen doesn't reset. She'll like clean up. She knows the correct way to clean stuff up.
Gotcha.
So, that's it. But I'm just too much of a control freak. I'm sure if I just sat down and went, okay, this goes here, exactly here. And,
well, that's how I felt about the newspaper because Jim would always tell me, Jim Steinmeier, mark that on your new Rob Ramirez bingo card. Jim would always tell me that Doug Henning would set his own newspaper tear. Broadway, Merlin, anytime. That. Yeah, he had to do it. He did it himself. He didn't like anybody else doing it. He felt like he didn't know if it was done, if he didn't physically do it. And so I kind of had adopted that for many years. And one time I was running out of time. Something happened in the Peller with me and Nathan. And Nathan was like, oh, I'll make one for you. And he did. And when I was doing the tear, I'm looking at the method. Like when I get right to the end and the paper's on the wrong side, is on the opposite side than it normally is for me. Now, nothing was different other than it just was on the other side, but the setup was the same.
But that'll mess with you.
Oh man, it threw me off. I just looked at it and I was like, what's about to happen? Is this going to work? And it did. But I was like, yeah, Nathan, you can't do this for me anymore because somehow you just learned it where it's on the other side of the page. And I
was
can't.
Doing Silk to Egg one time and I always load it in my left hand. Yeah, I load it. The very first thing, you're putting the silk into the fake egg into the left hand. And for whatever reason, one show I did it into the right hand and I couldn't remember how to do the rest of it. It completely messed with it. I couldn't finish the routine. I just stopped the music and I'm like, all right, whatever, moving on. it was weird. That's funny. A weird mental break.
Yeah. Well, basically, after our show, Gwen said, I guess I have to learn how to make the newspaper. And I said, yes.
You're lucky that you live with an artist. That's important.
What do you live with?
Well, my wife is a voiceover artist and an acting artist. Your wife.
Gotcha. You mean like a drawing?
Drawing artist, yeah. My wife does crafts and things.
Yeah.
And
your wife is still creative.
Yeah.
But she's brain is just different.
Different, yeah.
What is that?
Same and different. I should probably stop talking because I'm going to get myself in trouble.
Oh, Gwen's only hearing my side of this conversation, yeah. So she just keeps turning back.
This is like how confusion. When I play video games with my buddies, but I have the earpiece in, and they hear me going from... Kristen is sitting next to me going from one subject to the next, like waffles to like politics to like, this guy shot me in the head.
That's so good. That's so good. Yeah. So we got to start playing. Good. We got to play video games.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Is there like multiple... We need something that has like... You, me, and Ben.
There's a lot of that. But the one that messed with my mind that is basically Tron. You're playing Frisbees. You're floating in the air. You're in an arena. It's called Echo VR. And
if
you know Oculus, I'm sure that's nothing new to you. But for me, I just kind of stumbled upon it. And it's free. It's like one of the rare free games. But
ooh.
I sat and just did the tutorials for an hour and it blew my mind. Even more so like than just like putting the Oculus on your head for the first time. You can like move your finger, you hit buttons with your actual finger, you touch the walls, and then you throw frisbees and you try to, and then some people can punch you in the head. It's overwhelming that I only did the tutorial. I'm like, I'm not going into a real one of these. I'm only gonna do this with friends. I don't want to do this with strangers. And then you have the option to leave yourself unmuted. So you could just go up to somebody and start talking to a real person who's in the lobby with you. I'm like, I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
No, we'll play with just friends.
Yeah. So there's a lot of potential. It's nice living in the future and also terrifying. Hey, do you know we have merch? Well, we kind of have merch.
Well, okay. It's either we have merch or we don't have merch. Don't give me something and then take a little bit back.
Well, it's kind of the truth. And that was actually one of my lectures today of like, stuff is either black and white or there's like a, you know, a grayscale to it. And this is kind of a grayscale in that.
But you pitch it to me like it was black or white.
Yeah, that's the problem. And I don't want to like mislead anybody. But
you said I have strawberry cheesecake. I've got cheesecake.
It's chocolate. If you're a patron and give $10 a month, you'll get a sticker now. A Two Magicians One Mic sticker. But you have to be a patron for 3 months. And then if you give $25 a month, you'll get a mug with but you have to be a patron for 3 months. And I didn't make the rules. That's just how they set it up. But there is another option where like if you've been a patron for so long, you'll just like get a swag every couple of months, and I might switch it to that. But if you just want a sticker or a mug, reach out to me, let me know, and maybe I'll just like put those up on the website. Right now it doesn't cost me anything to do that with Patreon other than like a couple bucks a month. So I literally don't have to do anything. It's the easiest merch in the world because I'm lazy as it is. Getting this podcast done weekly is a struggle. But if you want a sticker, $10 a month. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
I think it's pretty great. It's a nice sticker.
I feel like you might have to start doing like a YouTube live stream of this.
Oh, interesting.
So that you can have your mug.
Well, that was essentially the Shed Show with Taylor and I.
That's true.
And then we killed it.
But at least you don't have to have segments.
Yeah, I tell you, it's funny. Like, I have so much respect for talk shows now, but also at the same time, I understand why talk shows have so many different departments. Because when you're the editor, the graphic designer, like the sketch writer, and the on-host personality, and the producer, and the interview segment, getting segment people to be on the show, it is exhausting. You're like, I'm making no money at this. At least with the podcast, I'm not doing that much work. We're just talking about nonsense for an hour a week.
It's true. It's true. We can be like the Joe Rogan experiment.
Very, very true. We do have a couple guests coming up. I know we'll have Joshua Jay coming up soon. I got him confirmed. Maybe Jim Steinmeier. We keep saying that. I don't even actually believe you're friends with Jim Steinmeier at this point.
No, I am.
Oh yeah, what's his hair look like?
It's on his head.
That's technically true. Oh really? What song did I sing you on my birthday? Well, happy birthday, of course. Oh, damn it! That's a great joke. I know we got a few more.
Oh man,
I got to reach out to some people. It's just time is. It's amazing. Like when you have to read a lot and watch lectures, and then potentially still like. Find ways to make money and do a podcast.
It's true.
You don't have time to do anything.
We got to get Taylor back to promote his
new podcast ish.
Is it new, like, is it completely new or is he just restructuring?
Chasing Wonder
thingy.
It's great. It's wonderful. Yeah, I felt like I was chasing Wonder as I was listening to it. He's doing shorter segment episodes too, which I think is smart. So I think now in the new world of people not commuting anymore or going places, it's really hard to listen to like a 50-minute episode.
Yeah, it's true. I want to start producing more. That's my resolution. Yeah, my new resolution.
What's crazy, I almost said revolution. It could be a revolution for your life. That's fun. It could be financially revolutionizing. The funny part is if you ask a producer what they do, they can't really tell you because it's so many different hats.
It's true. I don't want to wear all those hats. I'm going to hate it.
I pictured you wearing lots of hats right now.
Well, that's like, the let me write that video down.
How many hats? Video.
I want to be an artist. I want to be a producer. And then it's me asking somebody. And they're like, what's a lot of hats? It
cuts to me wearing a lot of hats. And then it just cuts to you walking away.
Oh, we've already written two brilliant segments that are going to go viral and make you no money. It's great.
It's true.
And then somebody on is going to rip you off. You know, I saw firsthand, we had a friend of ours, Snubby. He goes by Snubby J. He does, do you know him, Kent Jenkins? He does RimbaTubes. He has a big following on the YouTubes and stuff.
I think so.
Created his own Blue Man Group PVC instrument, but he's been doing it for years and has a big following. But somebody, some big TikTok sensation influencer posted a video and used his song, but didn't credit him. Like one of his original, I think it was like Bob O'Reilly or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, that is like, how often is that happening now? People are just like ripping off other stuff and without credit.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I mean, they can get, he can... You can do stuff about that.
He's the nicest guy in the world, though. I saw he commented and was like, hey, Merry Christmas. Could you just credit me for this? Thanks. Have a great day.
Yeah. Because I don't even think that, like, that's just enough exposure. Because if that video goes viral, people will go, I like the song. Who is it by? And then they could just look it up.
Yeah. Well, so, the thing is, it said no artist. It basically made it sound like this guy created this for him, and that was even worse. Yeah,
that's even worse.
So you have to be careful with the quick 15-second content out there, because it can be lifted so easily.
But I'm gonna force you to do videos now. I'm gonna force you to do Two Magician One Mic content that I'll just produce. You produce the podcast and I'll produce 5-minute videos.
I would love to have a partner that does anything, so it's great. I wish I had an editor. I wish I didn't have to edit this thing. I get so jealous of, like, when I'm listening to Pete Holmes or other ones or Conan, where he's like literally just show up, record, and then somebody else takes care of it.
Yeah, I wish it was like that too.
But, you know,
no. I'm enjoying doing more video editing. When I did that video for Founders Day for the castle, it was really fun because I have, like, there was some really interesting shots I wanted to do, and Gwen had some really funny ideas. Me jumping on the chair of, like, it on my face and me looking down, and it pans back and I'm standing on the chair, and then it looks like I'm going to jump and smash a chair, but it cuts right before I jump. It was so funny. Like, it was really fun to, like, spitball, like, shot ideas. And then, like, making sure we filmed right angles and stuff, and then going in and editing and stuff.
It's weird how I treat editing the same way I treat, like when I came up with the idea for Your Aces. I was jogging, that song came on, I'm like, oh, I should learn Robert's thing, and oh, I can do something silly with this.
Yeah.
It was just, like, one of those things, like, if I don't do it right now, it's not going to happen. Tomorrow I'm not going to have that spark. But, and it's the same with video editing. It's like, okay, you got this idea, just get it done.
Correct. But it's fun when it's like an idea that you have, opposed to like when you're editing somebody else's.
And that's why I realized, especially during the pandemic, I'm like, oh, okay, I can go into editing part-time. And I just realized how much, even with Rob's show, I love Rob. I love working on the other side. It was so much fun. But luckily, we only had 6 episodes and then it was done for the season. And I was just like, this is so time-consuming. And I love working creatively with other people, but at the same time, it's like, okay, you kind of have to pick and choose.
Yeah. I'm trying to do another series I want to do is the history of rap and musical theater. And I want to do like short episodes, like 5 episodes, like Vox-style journalism, where they're kind of just doing like really short documentary kind of things. So I want to like plan, I got to plan out all the like the interviews and like content and research. And I realize it's going to be a lot of work, but I feel like it will be very satisfying and or horrible.
I feel like that has a large, like, we have, you were on, you know, essentially on Broadway, and you have lots of connections.
Because I was in the Heights. Mark that down on your bingo card.
Yeah, there we go. We got a third one. That's great. In the Heights, national tour.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a bigger audience.
Yeah, but I feel like that's why
a lot of people.
But that's why I feel like I have to really do it right. Like, it can't be like really janky.
Yeah.
Interview. Like, it really has to be edited right. There's got to be really good graphics, and it's got to really feel like a well put together, produced thing. And the scariest part is gonna just be doing all of it.
Yeah, there's nothing more I cringe more at than seeing somebody, you know, oh, I created this thing, this video, and it looks like it
was unintentionally made on Windows Movie Maker.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I bought Final Cut. It looks like iMovie, which I was using a lot. So it's iMovie with better features and more control, which is just what I needed. So it's been really nice and I'm getting a handle of it. But it really comes down to just making everything right. The goal is to get Lin to interview Lin about what that influence of what he's created. But I luckily know enough people in that world that I can interview and stuff, which is what I'm excited about. But the idea of doing everything will feel daunting.
What's that? Oh, Lin-Manuel Miranda is going to do our podcast. That's great. Okay, good. Robert just announced it on the podcast. We have Lin-Manuel Miranda coming.
I showed a picture, this very funny meme of someone took a still of the Hamilton from the Hamilton movie thing. And it's Lin looking kind of down and out, but it looks like he's looking down and out. It's going to be hard for the podcast listeners to understand this, but someone's holding up a phone to their TV screen and it looks like Lin's trying to read what's on their phone. And it just says, I've been laughing at this for 10 minutes straight. And I showed that to Gwen and she kind of just looked at it and was confused by it. And then she went, and she looked closer and she went, oh, that's not you.
Oh, weird.
And I went, what? She goes, I thought that was you. I thought that was a picture of you. Like someone took a still of you from a show and then made this thing. I thought you uploaded that.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I can see why you replaced him. You had a very similar look
I always thought he was really short.
Oh, really?
He's not. He's an average size man.
Oh, okay. He's not a Tom Cruise?
He's not a Tom Cruise. It made me really sad. Because then when I met him, I was like, oh, I'm really short.
Once again, Lin-Manuel Miranda will be on our podcast.
Confirmed. I'm just going to, let's just tag him in this thing and see.
Hey, Lin, thanks for coming on next week. Appreciate it. The sad part is at the beginning of the pandemic, we knew nobody was doing anything. So we're like, okay, reach out to Teller, reach out to Shin Lim, reach out to Mark Evan Jackson. Great. And now people are back to doing things, but we're still in the pandemic.
This is jerks.
Bummer. What do you do? Are you free? Are you busy? You are. Okay. Well, let me know.
That's great. Yeah. Here's what we should do. Your new marketing strategy is just to tag everybody you wish you want to interview. Say we have a new episode, Thomas Middleditch, if you want to join us.
I would love it for Thomas Middleditch or Ben Schwartz to be on, but I feel like you and I you're a very funny man and we improvise a lot, but I would be so in my head of having to keep up with them.
Correct.
But I would enjoy it the whole time.
There was this great video. I've been going down rabbit holes of Ben Schwartz, Thomas Middleditch videos on YouTube. Because they do a lot of, because he streams now. I follow his YouTube.
Yeah, I've watched a few of them and it's so funny.
They're very funny. His cyberpunk stuff is very funny. He's always doing a bit, and especially in cyberpunk, he's constantly talking to the characters as they're talking to him. Just so good.
I haven't seen that. That's great.
Oh my God, it's so good. He goes into he sits at this restaurant to interview for this guy in cyberpunk, and his camera looks to the side and he sees there's a pizza. And he's like, oh, dude, did you order a whole pizza? And the character's just talking to him and he's like, did you order that pizza for me or did you order it for you? Did you know I was coming? Because that's a whole pizza. There's no way you're going to eat that whole pizza. I want that pizza. Well, let's just talk. And then somehow the game glitches and the pizza just disappears. And Thomas Oda just starts screaming. He's like, what happened? What happened?
What makes me so happy about that, because I'm so judgmental of anything new technology and YouTubes and streamers and whatnot, is I love that it's the combination of a brilliant onstage improviser with playing video games. I feel like I don't watch a lot of Twitch streams, obviously, but the ones I have seen, I feel like it's just them going, okay, hey, what's up, so-and-so? Oh, yeah, thanks for... Okay, great. Yeah, appreciate it. Great. And as opposed to this, where he's legit doing a show. He's playing a character. He's reacting to what's happening, and it's entertaining. It's not just watching a guy play video games, which I guess for many people is entertaining, and it's not something I can be judgmental of.
And there's this video of Ben Schwartz and him. I guess there's some... It's not IGN. Oh, maybe it is. Some video game company or whatever gets celebrities to play video games. So it's just one episode. It's here's... Tom Hanks playing whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's so random. It's a really weird concept because the narrator's not there. He's just introducing it and then just cuts to whatever footage they filmed of that. And you can tell because, like, the guy saying stuff about Ben Schwartz and Thomas Middleditch and, like, hasn't watched the video of how crazy their actual segment is, but they're playing WWE, whatever, 2K2 or whatever, and they're designing each other in the game. But it's so funny because Thomas Middleditch is like, I'm going to make you, it's going to look just like you, it's going to be perfect. And Ben Schwartz is like, I'm going to make you with bright blue hair, and you're going to be all greasy. And Thomas Middleditch just starts laughing because he's like, oh, so you're not taking this seriously. Ben Schwartz is like, what are you talking about? This is so serious. And like that dynamic is so funny. And you can see it even in that virtual world, even like through video games, it like still comes across, which is so interesting. And I feel like it's its own, you're right, like its own show within that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's what's missing so much with the new social media, the new forms of technology that is just encompassing, you know, Gen Z, Gen Y, I always confuse the two. Yeah. But I get worried that that's lost. Like they're, and I'm 33, I don't have children, I have no real connection to this, but that's the one thing I do get worried about is that the sense of what actually is entertaining is gone, as opposed to, look at this guy, he did something stupid, where it's
just jackass.
Oh, yeah,
well, like, the internet has made it, anyone can be funny. Everyone has a platform to be funny, which is why, like, Reddit comments are very funny, or sometimes YouTube comments are super funny, because there's those people exist, they've just never had a place to say something funny or be funny.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I think that's where
favorite,
it gets lost to.
My favorite Reddit comment, and we can end the podcast on this, is it was just a gorgeous picture of Natalie Portman, and the comment underneath said, I would respect the fucking shit out of her. It's brilliant. Brilliant. Sorry, a lot of F-bombs in this episode today. I apologize.
Yeah, that's all right. Lots of it's not, that means it's rated R. If it was PG-13, there's one F-bomb.
True, yeah, and I think I did four this time.
Yeah,
so.
And
I'm trying
boobs.
To keep it. And did we say boobs?
No, but like if you put boobs on, if you watched Airplane one time when I was a kid, I was watching Airplane on TNT, and there's a segment where this woman runs.
Oh
down
yeah, she
the
just screen. Runs. Ah!
Correct. And TNT didn't block it because I don't think they realized it.
Oh yeah, that's fun. And now they would because they would get all the internet and phone calls,
correct.
Comments and whatnot. But holy crap!
Yep,
that's
PG-13.
I think they took that away, though. I think
they did, too. There's still one F-bomb.
They changed. Yeah, you get one F-bomb, but I don't think the boobies... I think you can show a decent amount, but once you get to the nip, it's, you know, you're R.
I'm trying to think of, like, a catchphrase or that, but I couldn't. Once you see a nip, you gotta take it.
Once you clip to the nip, cut it out. No, that's...
Once you see a nip, you gotta clip.
Bit. Clip it at the nip.
There it is.
Nip Clippers. New show on TNT.
Leave us voicemails.
I'm afraid. I feel like I should cut out that phone number. Do you think
you
I should
idiot.
Keep it in?
I don't know. How many people do you think are going to send you a voicemail?
It's not my personal number, so I don't care. It's a Google Voice number, so whatever. But
yeah, then you're fine. We're like K-Rock right now.
Yeah, leave us a number here on K-Rock.
This is our afterlife.
And now some more Foo Fighters. That song you've heard 3,000 times.
All the newest alternative. Now back to Linkin Park.
From 2002.
Here's Muse.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, that's enough effing around. Yeah. See, we only did four.
It's great. All right. Next week, we're going to have Jim Steinmeier and Lin-Manuel Miranda.
And Teller's coming back. You heard
Teller's
coming
back.
He listened
and
he's coming back.
He's going to be in character.
Yeah, he'll be there, but he will be in character, not talking this time.
That's our bit next week, is Teller is here.
What's that? Oh, yeah, Teller was waving. So, okay, everybody, have a nice day. Give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, and that's about it.
Send us voicemails.
Send us a voicemail, too. All right, take care, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the show. Please give us 5 stars on Apple Podcast. If you really like the show, you can donate a few bucks a month on our website, twomagiciansonemike.com, or become a monthly subscriber through our Patreon link. Thanks to all the people that support the show and keep it up and running. Be sure to follow us on the interwebs at @twomagiciansonemike. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great week.